But the greatest of these is love. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, I got to apologize to you before I go into my message. In the song, verse 4, I will establish your offspring forever and build your throne for all generations. Selah. Selah in Hebrew means next. Anytime in the Psalms when you have something that says Selah, it means you got two different ideas they just put together. And I always get a kick out of it because you get somebody that sits there and goes, Selah. Next. It's one of those, usually I take them out, but I miss that one, so I apologize. And I love, too, in our readings today, and you shall name him Jesus. You know what Jesus means in Hebrew? God saves. You know, so it's one of those things, the messages are always there. Well, today, we've been preaching on the Advent wreath, and today is the day of love. And just as we've been finding out from looking at this, you know, the first week when we did hope, we found hope is not anticipation, but it's assurance in the Bible. It's got a different meaning because we use the archaic meaning on it. Well, we've been finding it out, and today, with love, guess what? There's another meaning too, which we're going to get into. But before we did that, would you tell me what love means to you? And it's already to speak. So you're pretty passionate about that.
Unconditional.
Okay. What else? Yeah, it's one of those things. If you had a little kid come up to you, what does love mean? One of those things. It's hard to define, isn't it? That's because it has so many different meanings. All right. Well, according to the Oxford Dictionary, it's an intense feeling of deep affection. There's that passion. A great interest, pleasure in something, or a person or thing that one loves. I always love it when the dictionary uses the word that you're trying to define the word. You know, that doesn't help us. But as a verb, it's getting a little bit more interesting. Feel a deep romantic or sexual attraction to someone. When I was doing this and I was thinking, Fiddler on the Roof, you know, when Tevye and Golda are sitting there and Tevye says, do you love me? And then she looks at him and goes, do I what? You know, it's one of those things, they had an arranged marriage and it wasn't based on love, but they developed love. You know, many of you, when you got married, had that reading from 1 Corinthians 13. Let me read this for you. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. Sound familiar? It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Well, as I was doing my research for my sermon, guess how many verses deal with love in the Bible? 1,836. You think love's important? I do. But does the word love in the Bible mean something different than what it means to us? Well, of course, you know, because I've been setting it up, you know it's coming. Ultimately, love is a thing that takes a gift from God and turns that gift into a blessing for others. Without love, the gift has no value. Now, you know the true meaning behind the love is patient, love is kind Bible verse. And I hope that you live out your life with an agape love for others. Guess where I got that? When Luther speaks. Think about that for a second. That's a nice way to say it. I hope that you have that agape love. All right, well, there's that funny Greek word agape. What does agape mean? Well, it means love. Okay. Unconditional love with sacrifice. Who's our greatest example of agape? Jesus. I mean, he went to the cross willingly to do a sacrifice for us. And he loves us unconditionally. I mean, that's where this comes from. As I was doing this, John 15, Jesus is telling us about love. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Last week we worked with joy, didn't we? This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friend. One of the most beautiful passages in the Bible, too. Jesus is prophesying about himself going to the cross. Well, all of this is well and good, but what does it mean to us in the 21st century? Does it have a different meaning? Well, let's see. Are we really that different from the people who lived 2,000 years ago? Well, let's look at this. Are there people who are like the Pharisees, who lie and cheat today? Many of them are in Congress. And then tell us, it is for our own good. Yes. Are there people today who think that they know what is best for you better than what you think is best for you? Sure there are. And again, we just saw this in the last election and in that modern idea of a nanny state. Yeah, it's there too. So what are we supposed to do? Bury our heads in the dirt like the ostrich does? You know, if we keep it in there? Well, are the people who daily do that? Yeah, I think so. I just heard this on the news channel later on, like about a week ago. They were interviewing a lady and she said, I don't want to hear anything bad because it makes me sad. I heard this on the TV a week ago. I don't want to hear anything bad because it makes me sad. Okay. So as Christians, are we just supposed to give up? Well, no, because that's not that unconditional love with sacrifice, is it? All right, well, I've got 5 points here that I was thinking about. First of all, we can't force other people to change. All right? All we can do is live the life we want to live as a Christian. Sometimes that gets difficult, doesn't it? We can't think for other people. But as Christians, we just can't tell them something. One of the things, if you had to, especially if you go to church, okay, and you've been to my Bible studies, you've been to my sermons and things, how often do I tell you something? How often do I ask you something? Why do I ask instead of tell? Well, when you ask, you open communication. When you tell, you close communication. So if you want to have a dialogue, you ask questions. Problem is that if we tell somebody something that is so far out of their understanding, they're not going to get it because they can't assimilate it. And by asking a question, you can find out what they understand, what they don't understand. Okay? So how do we become more effective Christians? So they know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they know we are Christians by our love. When we love, we're showing Christ, aren't we? Okay, remember what our definition was on that again? It's a gift from God that turns a gift into a blessing for others. And that's what we're loved for. Remember in here we've actually talked, when we were coming up with definitions for love. To me, love is when somebody's happiness is more important to you than your own. And stop and think about that. You know, we all think that we're important, but yet our happiness is subservient to those who are around us. Well, we're back to that word agape. Unconditional love with sacrifice. The love that Jesus and all of his disciples demonstrated except one. Now, you know, John of Patmos is who wrote Revelation, and there's a question whether he was John the Apostle or not. But he's the one that died of old age. And he's only one of the apostles that did that. So did the apostles sow that agape love? Yeah. Now, are we asking you to do something that might get you killed? No, not in today. But yet, there are many people that stand up and say, here I stand, I can do no other. Right? I mean, we have a perfect example of that person who started our Catholic Church. So we're back to unconditional love with sacrifice. And we just talked about what that biblical definition of love is again. Agape, love for others. As I was thinking about this, you know, it's telling us that love is a gift from God. Just as faith is a gift from God too. But how? The Holy Spirit. You know, today we're going to sing before the offering, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Who renews that right spirit? The Holy Spirit. You know, one of the things, remember, as we look at the Trinity, we have the Father, creation, accomplished? Yes. Look at the Son, redemption, accomplished? Yes. What is the Holy Spirit? Sanctification. To lead a sanctified life, a holy life is what it means. And that's an ongoing daily thing we deal with. Doesn't mean we're perfect. No, we're human beings and we're sinners. But, okay, as Pastor always says to me, he says, I'm a sinner who needs absolution. Okay? You know, and that's the thing is too, we try our best. And remember, if we're 51% of the time, we're actually positive, aren't we? Okay, I didn't say perfect. I said positive. Because our goal is not to be perfect. Our goal is to keep trying. Create a right spirit within me. Come, thou Holy Spirit. So how important is that love? What we're dealing with today. What's the first song we learned as children? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Come on, everyone. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Folks, isn't it all right there? Isn't the way we started as children? And aren't we still children of our Heavenly Father? What a blessing this is for us. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. May this love, this agape, found in the Bible, keep your hearts and minds on Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.